Prakashate yasya cha yena vaguna sattvabna chetaturidam nijam bhavi vijnanam ajnanam idabhamarjana guna prakashaya anuniyate bhavan prakashate yasya cha yena vaguna sattvam Shuddha-sattva, transcendental.
Shuddha-sattva, transcendental.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Cheat.
If.
Dataha.
Dataha.
O reservoir of all energies, cause of all causes.
O reservoir of all energies, cause of all causes.
Idam.
Idam.
This.
This.
Nijam.
Nijam.
Personal, spiritual.
Bhavid.
Could have been.
Vijnanam.
Transcendental knowledge.
Ajnanabhidha.
Which drives away the ignorance of the material modes. Apamarjanam.
Completely vanquished.
Guna prakashayi.
By
the awakening of such transcendental knowledge. Anumiyate.
Becomes manifested.
Bhavan. Your lordship.
Prakashate.
Exhibit. Yasya.
Whose.
Cha.
And.
Yena.
By which.
Va.
Either.
Gunaha.
Quality.
Or intelligence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, one could not understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Only by your presence, one can understand the transcendental nature of your lordship, who are the controller of material nature. Your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. Purport. It is said, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nis Trigunyo Bhavarjuna. Unless one is situated in transcendence, one cannot understand the transcendental nature of the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Atapi te deva parambuja dvaya prasada leshanu grihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pi chiram vichitvam. That's what Lord Brahma's prayers. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can one understand Him. Those who are in the modes of material nature, although speculating for thousands of years, cannot understand Him. The Lord has innumerable forms. Ramadi Murti Shukalani Amena Tishtam. And unless these forms, such as Lord Ramachandra, Nisimhadev, Krishna, and Balaram, were transcendental, how could they be worshipped by devotees since time immemorial? Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvataha. Devotees who awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord and who follow the rules and regulations of devotional service can understand Lord Krishna Lord Ramachandra, and other incarnations who are not of this material world, but who come from the spiritual world for the benefit of people in general. If one does not take to this process, one imagines or manufactures some form of God according to material qualities and can never awaken a real understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Bhaktyamam Abhijanati Yavanyaschasmi Tatvataha signify that unless one worships the Lord according to the regulative devotional principles, one cannot awaken the transcendental nature. Deity worship, even in the absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, awakens the transcendental nature of the devotee, who thus becomes increasingly attached to the Lord's lotus feet. The appearance of Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone imagines the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his mode of material nature. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is the oldest person. This paragraph is taken right out of the Krishna book. Everyone imagines the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his mode of material nature. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is the oldest personality. Therefore, a section of religionists imagine that God must be very old, and therefore they depict a form of the Lord like a very old man. But in the same Brahma Samhita, this is contradicted. Although he is the oldest of all living entities, he has his eternal form as a fresh youth. The exact words used in this connection in the Srimad Bhagavatam are Viganam Agana Bidab Apamarjanam. Vijnana means transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality. Vijnana is also experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of disciplic succession, as Brahma presents this knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is Vijnana as realized by Brahma's transcendental experience. And in that way, he presented the form and pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. Agyanabhida means that which can match all kinds of speculation. In ignorance, people are imagining the form of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form, and sometimes he has form, according to their different imaginations. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is Vijnana, scientific, experienced knowledge given by Lord Brahma and accepted by Lord Chaitanya. There is no doubt about it. Sri Krishna's form, Sri Krishna's flute, Krishna's color, everything is reality. Here it is said that this Vijnana is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. Therefore the demigods prayed, without your appearing as Krishna, as you are, neither Agyanabhida, the nescience of speculative knowledge, nor Vijnanam would be realized. Agyanabhida Pamarjanam. By your appearance, the speculative knowledge of ignorance will be vanquished, and the real, experienced knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma will be established. Men influenced by the three modes of material nature imagine their own God according to the modes of material, modes of material nature. In this way, God is presented in various ways, but your appearance will establish what the real form of God is. So here it is, the point is being made that it is necessary for the Lord to appear. His devotees come to this world, and they can describe him. They can write shastras, like Vyasadeva writes. So if they've seen Krishna elsewhere in the spiritual world, they can describe him. They can present the Lord's holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself distributing Krishna's names, but in other Kali Yugas, a jiva may be deputized to do that work. The preaching work can be done by empowered jivas, even the preaching of Harinam, Sankirtan, as it is in some Kali Yugas. So why does the Lord himself have to appear? Prabhupada was saying this morning that there's no need for the Lord to come to kill the demons or to save the devotees. The devotees aren't in real danger, and the demons can easily be killed by material nature. But Krishna, one reason Krishna does come, one reason given here, is that if he didn't, then the mass of people would be speculating, guessing about what God is. That's almost worse than being an atheist, the way Prabhupada presents it. It's so bad. Speculation is a very filthy word in Prabhupada's vocabulary. You know, to him, it's one of the worst things a person can do is speculate. To guess about the absolute truth. The absolute truth is not discovered by guessing. Nachanyo eko pi churam vijinvan. No one, eko pi, nobody has ever discovered the absolute truth by guessing. Vijinvan. Exercising your brain power and coming up with so many clever guesses. What you think the Supreme might be. But no one has ever discovered the Supreme Absolute Truth that way. They can make up some image of God and worship it. And somehow it's you know, because everything is God's energy and they're trying to worship the Supreme Lord. They get some credit for that. The Supreme Lord may accept even their worship of him in some imagined form. He takes so many forms. Even if you imagine a form, you might come close to a form he's actually assumed. And he's assumed forms in every species of life. But you cannot establish a personal relationship with God by speculation. You must have devotion, even if you guess right. So, okay, you have a proper idea of God, maybe, but you can never be sure. But you don't have a relationship with him. It's not enough to just theoretically know God, especially to know him uncertainly, just by guesswork. That is something. It is some kind of religion. But it is not up to the standard of the Vedas. Other traditions, other cultures may have a religion or a mythology built out of guesses. You know, myths. Just stories about the gods or the great heroes of the past that people made up out of their own minds. Real religion is created by God. And how does he create it? Not by talking about it, but by doing it. The Lord appears in person, and he shows how God acts, and he shows how a good person should act. Lord Ramachandra was God. And he was also the best person, most ethical person. I think that's why Prabhupada mentions Ramachandra, because he's a better example than Krishna of this. Krishna is not so perfect a person, according to ordinary morality. I mean, he doesn't behave normally. But Ramachandra did behave very normally. At the same time as he was God and could do miracles and could defeat the biggest demons in the universe. So God shows, he teaches the principles of civilized human life, of spiritual life, by coming himself and showing. But especially, if there's going to be any actual understanding of what the Supreme Absolute Truth is, it's only possible because he's come and he showed himself. No one will ever find him by guessing or by meditating. Pantas tu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayuratapi manaso munikumkumana sobhyasti yat paparasim avachintya tatve. Last line. Kavindamahari purusham tamaha. I just want to make sure everybody knows where this comes from. Comes from the Brahmasamhita. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this is Brahma is thinking about the difficulty that materialists or non-devotees have to even understand God or even approach him, even come near him. The yogis and the gyanis are not usually or never successful in actually finding the personality of Godhead. They may begin to realize him in his impersonal feature, but you can't go very far in impersonal meditation. There's no content, no substantial content to such meditation, and there's no basis of personal satisfaction in a relationship with the formless, impersonal Supreme. So that doesn't carry you very far. And poetically, it's being described that these gyanis and yogis who are trying to find the form of the Lord as impersonal, the gyanis are chasing him at the speed of the mind, and the yogis are chasing him at the speed of the wind. They practice pranayama, and they drill their respiration. So they are chasing God at the speed of the wind, and the gyanis are chasing him at the speed of the mind. Mind is faster than the wind. Mind is so fast, someone who has the depth of thought can think about what is happening on the other side of the universe, or maybe dream about it in his sleep. So the mind actually travels to the other end of the universe when one is thinking like that, thinking of it. Just like you conjure up ghosts by just thinking about them. So you can actually travel all around the universe just by thinking about the different places in your mind. The speed of the mind is practically unlimited. But even at that speed, well, just speaking of just the speed of the wind, gyanis and yogis, sobhyasti yaprapadasimni, prapada is the forefoot, the front of the bottom of the foot, where the toes are connected. That's the prapada, the front foot, front of the foot on the bottom. And the simni, simon, is the edge or the border. That means basically the toes. They come near his toes, but not quite are able to touch them. Especially since those toes are very effulgent, and they become distracted by the effulgence, by the impersonal brilliance. They get very close, but can't quite touch him. He's always one step ahead of them, as fast as they are chasing him. Just like Kalayavana was chasing Krishna, and Krishna seemed to be walking very slow, but Kalayavana, at all the speed he could muster, couldn't catch Krishna. Like that, the materialists, the gyanis and the yogis, cannot actually have any proper conception of the personality of Godhead. The devotees are able to. But the devotees are able to rise above speculation, the great crime of the impersonalists, speculation. They can avoid that crime against the absolute truth, because he's appeared in this world. Because Krishna came here publicly, and so many saw him. Then when Vyasadeva wrote about that, Krishna's Leela in the Bhagavatam, it was corroborated by what so many other people saw with their own eyes. No one could say that Vyasadeva was a crackpot, making up some stories. Amazing stories about this legendary Krishna. So many others saw him too.
Maybe ordinary persons who didn't have the literary brilliance of Vyasadeva to record, or at least they witnessed. And in future generations, at least in the Brahminical culture, in the Vedic culture, the historicity of these so-called myths or legends is accepted because it's recorded in the Bhagavatam. An honest person with some devotion and some understanding of the Vedic message will accept what the Bhagavatam teaches as literal historical truth. Krishna did appear 5,000 years ago, and he did all these wonderful things. He saved his devotees. He destroyed so many demons. He rebalanced the powers of the political situation in the world to make possible some peace and prosperity. And on top of all that, he revealed himself. He showed himself. And then Vyasadeva and his son Shukadeva recorded it for our benefit in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, therefore, the fact that Krishna appeared, is appearing in about 43 minutes, 33 minutes, is very significant. We shouldn't be complacent, but we have his holy names, you know, we can sit around all day like we do today and just chant. We don't need Krishna to walk in the door, you know, and talk to us. We're doing fine just chanting his names and doing some service to his devotees. But it is. If Krishna didn't appear 5,000 years ago, then we wouldn't have any Krishna consciousness. If Krishna didn't appear again 500 years ago as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we wouldn't be chanting his names. It's because the Lord himself appears and teaches the essence of religion by his own words and his own example and shows to everybody what he is. It's only because of that that we have any opportunity to become Krishna conscious in any practical way. Therefore, it's very, it's a cause of great celebration. Today is the day, even though it was 5,000 years ago. Still, it's such an important event that even that much later, so many millennia later, still, it should be celebrated very festively. We made an attempt today, very nice attempt, to, even though we're a small company here, we kept up the kirtan all day. We read a good part of the first volume of the Krishna book. We didn't entertain thousands of guests. We didn't collect hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that's okay. You know, Prabhupada, his first intention for the celebration of Janmashtami, his first plan, not that it was a big fundraising event or just, you know, get together for the congregation. That's also there. We can't deny them that. If 200,000 people are banging on our door, waiting in line, we can't deny them. But fortunately, we didn't have any 200,000 people, even more than two or three people come in here today. And we were able to follow Prabhupada's original plan of just sit down and read Krishna book and chant Hare Krishna. That is certainly adequate and very nice celebration of Krishna's birthday. I hope Krishna is pleased by it. So, anybody have any comments or questions? I'm a little out of energy here. Yeah.
You slightly mentioned in the beginning that also empowered soul can spread Yuga Dharma as Harinama Sankirtan.
Well, it has to be specially empowered to do it directly by the Lord.
I'm just curious, is there, like, probably from some acharya?
From Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary on the Tattva Sandarbha, where he's talking about the appearance when the Lord appears in a yellow color. If you follow the statement of Garga Muni, It seems like the yellow was before, you know, he was previously yellow, white, and red, and now he's black. That means he was, somebody appeared before Krishna in the previous yuga, a previous yuga cycle. So there, and so Baladeva Vindrabhushan sorts that out. He says, there's a, you know, that Kali Yuga avatar, Yuga Dharma avatar, there's one appearing in each Kali Yuga. And so he explains all this, that Krishna himself only appears once in the day of Brahma, in the 27th Manvantara, the Vaivasvata Manvantara of the 27th Divya Yuga, in each day of Brahma, once in a day of Brahma. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appears in that same Kali Yuga, following Kali Yuga. 4,500 years later. That only happens once in a day at Brahma, but there is somebody appearing as the Yuga Dharma avatar who teaches Sankirtana Yajna in every Kali Yuga. Just as some Vyasadeva, a different person, each time at the end of Dwapara Yuga to edit the Vedas. And he makes a point that it's not always the same color. It's not always, he's not always yellow. Sometimes he's the green color of a parrot's feathers. And that the, whoever it was that's yellow, mentioned by Garga Muni, the order he places it in is before the appearance of Krishna, not after. In the previous Divya Yuga, you were white, red, and yellow previously. Then he further explains that since Krishna himself only appears once in the day of Brahma, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, then someone else, and sometimes it's an empowered jiva, Baladeva Vibhushan says that, that teaches the Yuga Dharma, Arinam Sankirtan. That's all in Baladeva Vibhushan's commentary on this one unrichied in the Tathasandarbha. Actually, the very, very first unrichied, because it's the first invocation verse, Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishna.
I just read in Chaitanya Mangala the explanation of that verse comes four colors spoken by Garga Muni. So it explains that Garga Muni speaks. He mentions four yuga avataras according to four yugas, but when he speaks, he mentions them according to past, present, and future phases of time.
It mixes
so
them up.
So he speaks the present.
Yes.
So before Dwapara Yuga there were two yugas. So Shukla, Shukla Rakta, Tatha Pita Idanim Krishnam Gataha. So he explains that.
Pita is in the future.
Tatha. Separates Pita into future.
Okay.
The word Tatha.
But I guess there's two different ways of looking at it, because Baladev took it that there was a previous Divya, it was in the past, that Pita. Of course, both are true. He appears sometimes yellow, he appears yellow more than once. Not always yellow, but often yellow. So there were yellow golden avatars before, and there was one after Krishna this time also. Both are true.
Okay.
Machi Prabhu got his head up first. So, yeah.
Yeah, but just to add something to that, it's always a question that the devotees have. Prabhupada said something about it in page 83 of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
He said that in the Kali Yuga, when Lord Chaitanya doesn't come, the new avatar is black complexion.
Always black?
Yeah, and he doesn't say it's about always, but he says it's black complexion. He has four arms and the creatures of the lands. And I remember reading somewhere else recently that sometimes the talking about it has luck, and sometimes the talking about it has also luck.
Okay, I remember reading that too. Sometimes. I think there's a variety of colors. And then there's also, for those who don't recognize Lord Chaitanya, Sridhar Swami has given the interpretation that Krishna, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, served as the Yuga Avatar for both the Yugas, for both Dwarpa and Kali. Just like Chandigarh is the capital of both Haryana and Punjab. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it still is. Blood number were you telling me? Yes.
Actually, Kali Yuga, Nama Rupe Krishna Avatara, Nama Hityahi Sala Gautamistha. So, Lord Krishna is getting information by chanting of the holy name of Krishna, especially in this is the Bungalow. We have seen, especially, I have also seen in Orissa, that many places are doing Vedanta, also doing Yajna, sometimes Ashtaprahari, continuously.
In Orissa.
Continuously 8 days Sankirtan, and yes. They are also eating many things. And so, how that Krishna is to. How that can be
useful. What are they eating?
How the Krishna is getting incarnations
through this Nama Sankirtan, this is Well, he appears it's simultaneous. At the same time as he appears as Nama Avatar, he also appears as Lord Chaitanya. They come together, like Krishna and Balaram appear together. Nara and Narayan appear together. Sometimes incarnation come in pairs, or even triplets and quadruplets. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nam Prabhu appear together. Okay, he's got so many other avatars with him anyway. One more won't make much, you know, much trouble. So Nam avatar is usually not by himself. You know, someone is there to teach them that. Even all these people in Orissa, did you say they were eating bad things? No, I'm sorry, you mentioned something about what they were eating. He says people are eating? No.
I'm eating. They're not calling for the yogi principles like us.
Yeah, yeah. They're chanting names, but they're not vegetarians, some of them. Well, why are they chanting? Most likely because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Shyamananda Prabhu there. Shyamananda, right? What to Orissa?
Yes.
No, not Shyamananda. Shyamananda. And other devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached very vigorously in Orissa and made so many devotees. And the effects of that are still seen today. You can go to Benares and see people chanting Hare Krishna. You know, don't think about Lord Chaitanya, but somehow someone in their, you know, ancient past was chanting Hare Krishna and they do it too. The influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, having been there for a few weeks, you still see people chanting Hare Krishna in Benares because of that. And certainly in Orissa, it's just the residual effect of the great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preaching up and down that country. But then, because of the influence of Kali, people revert back to their old habits. You know, they're eating fish and other things, and not following other principles, because it is, you know, just conditioning. Not only Orissa, you see it here too. You see it in Vrajada. Everybody out there today in the street was eating kachoris. Nobody was fasting except for us and a few ashrams. So those, you know, bad habits are very prevalent in Kali Yuga. Without having the great fortune of the guidance of pure devotees, if you're taking your Krishna consciousness casually, or you're being taught it by people who really aren't very serious, if the teacher isn't very serious, then the students aren't going to be well trained. So the mass of people are getting very watered down versions of Krishna consciousness, especially because they're not hearing it from devotees, from teachers who are really pure devotees. Therefore, you know, what do you expect? They'll chant Hare Krishna and they'll eat kachoris on the Ekadasi and on Janmashtami and maybe eat worse things. Because nobody even told them not to, or they, you know, their teacher told them, you don't have to, you don't have to follow the principles. So that's great, your teacher tells you to do nonsense.
Who appears if Krishna doesn't come and Dwarpa, who appears?
Any, I don't know. Who appears in other Dwarapa Yugas? Krishna is unusual. He appears at the very end of the age. It's a little late to get things started. You know, there's only a few years left in the age, a few, you know, 150 years left, and he's going to teach the Dharma at the very end. So that's unusual. You know something about who else appears?
I heard from Manu that Krishna appears, but not the
Krishna appears, he says all the things, but what's the difference? He's not gold, isn't that black?
Not the Vrindavan Krishna, but
some expansion of Krishna? I don't know, maybe. I never heard that. Yes? That, I guess it's like an expansion of Krishna appears. He's not the Vrindavan Krishna, but he does practically all the same things, including speaking Bhagavad Gita, in other ages. In other yugas. But I don't know. I can't comment on that because I never heard it before.
Is it from the Tapasamarama?
No, it's not from the Tapasamarama. That I can tell you. It's not, you know, one dot that says anything like that in the Tapasamarama. It's maybe somewhere, I just don't know. Yes. It's Krishna's body in the spiritual world is what?
Krishna's birthday is celebrated in Goloka also.
Birthday.
It is birthday celebrated in Goloka. I don't know. If they want to, they can celebrate his birthday every day. Because you can just, you can cheat. You can just change the clock and make it whatever day you want it to be. They don't have material time there. They have pastime time. So they can do their favorite pastimes. They can do them all over again. If their favorite pastime is Krishna's birthday, then they'll just have it every day. Yes?
Does it take birth exactly on some day? He's eternally there.
He's eternally there and he's eternally taking birth. Everything he does, he's doing it eternally. Don't try to figure it out. It doesn't work out by any material formula. Don't try to understand it. That's the way it is in the spiritual world. He's doing everything all the time. Okay. And the devotees can, who are particularly attracted to a particular pastime, they can experience that pastime or participate in it every day if they want to. Yes?
I guess it's one pastime that's not there is the disappearance of Krishna.
No, there isn't, but maybe, I don't know, maybe they can make, you know, make a show of that if someone wants to experience. But generally, devotees, Vaishnavas don't like that pastime very much. But, you know, just like killing demons, doesn't really happen, but they can pretend to kill some demons just to have some fun. But I don't think it's much fun, Krishna's disappearing. So, I don't know if they ever even pretend to have that pastime in the spiritual world. I don't know. Yes?
I read in one work the comparison between Goloka and Gokula.
Yes.
So
can you tell us what the word is?
The Kapoor.
Dr. Kapoor.
Yeah. So but that book, Philosophy of Religion, he's mostly based on quoting Acharya's book.
Yes. No, I just have one big objection with one statement in the book, but go ahead.
Yeah. So he basically quotes someone comparing this Gokula and Goloka, and he emphasizes
he wrote an article in Dr. Godhead about that.
Huh?
He wrote an article once in Dr. Godhead, Dr. Kapoor, uh-huh. commissioned for Dr. Godhead on that topic.
So yeah. There was some few points how Gokula actually excels Goloka.
Well, you can find that idea in Sanatana Goswami's own commentary in Brihadaratamrita.
I think that was Krishna's birth. And then also, there were five things. I remember two of them.
Yeah.
Krishna's birth and separation from Krishna when he leaves.
Yes.
So, and above that, yeah.
Okay, there's some things that Krishna only does when he comes down to the earth. So there's that advantage. That's something better about Gokula in comparison to Goloka. Okay.
So we can say basically...
But that can only be fully experienced by those who have the adhikar to see the non-difference. If you're still have material eyes, then it's not going to help you much to know theoretically that Goloka is better when all you see is, you know, filth and people trying to cheat you. Then you're not going to be able to fully appreciate that, even if you know it theoretically. That Gokula on the earth is better. You have to be able to first see that they're the same, and then appreciate that.
But theory-wise, we can only like tell that the Siddhanta is that Gokula is higher than Goloka.
Well, yeah, tell it to devotees who can understand it, but don't tell it to those who you're just going to confuse by saying that. Yeah, we can confidently say it. It's there. It's an authorized statement.
Like as experience-wise, those who are experiencing, it's like you have, for example, those experiencing in Gokula or Goloka, they need to see that by taking part in Krishna's pastimes. The ones who are taking part in Krishna's pastimes, for them, in one sense, there's no difference. They don't really, okay, now this is Goloka, okay, now this is Gokula. So
Gopakumara says that he's hardly aware of the difference, although he can tell some difference, especially since he has to travel through the material world to get from one to the other. So by the traveling, he can see that he's switching. Otherwise, he's practically no difference in his eyes.
So that's what Gokula is. An expansion of Gokul to have pastimes which is not available, in one sense not available in Gokul.
Not only for that, also to show himself to the inhabitants of the material world and give conditioned souls a chance to join those pastimes.
So it serves these two purposes.
At least those two.
Yeah. Okay,
yes. Why don't we start a kirtan, because Krishna's going to appear in a few minutes. I don't know if we're allowed inside yet, but we can start a kirtan.